Christ ought to be part of our routine so that when I'm in a good season, I'm praising. And when I'm in a bad season, I'm praising. Because you know what happens? We get into a bad season and we're like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Give me that healing, God. Give me that financial. Give me that husband, God. Give me that wife. Give me that kid. Whatever the thing is that you're struggling with, we go to town. We go to Jesus. And we're at church on Sunday. We're opening up our Bible. We are going after heaven. But what happens when you get the thing? What happens when God comes through? What happens when you got that husband and you got that family and 10 years later you're putting them in baseball and it's on a Sunday? Ooh. But you see, I got to put them in baseball. I don't want them to not have friends. You know, church has been great. But, you know, we're kind of getting out of it now. What happens when a good season comes? I think we're tempted to kind of put God in the back burner sometimes. I'm not saying that you do, but I'm saying it happens. It happens to me. It's a good season. I'm busy. I'm working. Man, I'm making money. This is great. Oh, yeah, I forgot to pray today. I forgot to read my Bible today. And listen, you're going to go through life. You're going to go through seasons. I remember when I was younger, I used to spend like 3 hours a day with God. I was that kid. I was a nerd for Jesus. I loved it. God got a hold of me at a young age. Thank you, Jesus. And I missed out on all sorts of nonsense. But then I got a little older and I had to get a job and I got myself a girlfriend. She became my wife and we got a house and we had 15 kids. And I tell you what, there ain't no 3 hours in a day unless I'm getting up at 4 a.m. or 2 a.m. I should say. It just ain't there. And my time with God does not look like my time with God did when I was a younger child. You'd think, man, I was a way better Christian back then. But God sees you in your season. And you know, he sees the might. Amen. When it's all you got. All I got, God. Don't cry. All I got's this might, but I'll give it to you. All I got's 10 minutes. Clayton, you're rubbing off of me here, man. All I got's 10 minutes, Lord, but I pray you'd fill it up. You know, I've had some of the greatest worship on the way to church where the Holy Spirit just fills me and I'm singing this song. I'm like, I'm not even there yet. You know where you're going to meet God is in the bathroom. Thank you, Jesus. That is where I find the Holy Spirit. On the throne or in the shower. I'm serious, man. That's all I got. I'm in this crazy season. My brother Josh is in a crazy season too. He knows it. You got to find God when you can find God. But God honors it. And if you got a season where you got more time, give God more time. Amen? But make sure God is at the front of your life. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When I'm at a kingdom first mindset, God's taking care of the rest. The Bible says not to worry. Don't worry about it. Matthew 6, right? It's the worry chapter. You can worry about what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear. I can worry about what school I'm going to go to. I'm going to worry about my career. I'm going to worry about my kids. I'm going to worry about my finances. I'm going to worry about my busted car. I tell you what, the list goes on about the things you can worry about. But you ought to seek first the kingdom. Don't ignore that stuff. I mean, you got to take care of it. If the car's broke down, go fix it. Like, figure it out, you know? But don't make it the forefront of your life. Don't wake up and be like, the car. Wake up and be like, Jesus, you can fix a car. You can get me through this day. I'm going to seek you first. I know I got a plate full of things to deal with, but I'm going to open up this Bible. I'm going to open up this plastic Bible right now. I'm going to read it. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I believe in a paper Bible, actually. But this is convenient right now. Open up that Bible in the morning and seek first the kingdom. When you walk out the door and it's your car's full of snow, seek first the kingdom and praise God for it. Every time you shovel it, it gets in your face. Praise God even harder. When you hear about someone who's in need and you're not doing so great yourself, sometimes the Lord will say, hey, come on, just go get them the gift card. And everything in you is like, man, I could use that for me right now. But the Holy Spirit says, seek first my kingdom. I'll give you the rest. I'll take care of you. Just put me first. You know, tithing's like that. I did a nice study on tithing. That's another sermon for another time. But you know, tithing's legit. It didn't get fulfilled on the cross. And 10% is still a thing. And I tried to cover that up. I tried to be like, no, it's about my heart and what I give. You know what? God set the rate. He didn't get rid of it after the cross. But you know, we're under grace now. You know, back in the law, if you didn't give your 10%, we're going to boot you, get rid of you. You've got a price to pay. But now, there's this grace. And God's like, you know, it's what I want from you, but I'm going to just keep reeling you in. Why don't you try 2%? Why don't you just try being intentional about what you're giving? And I'm going on about giving because it's uncomfortable. And man, I've been in seasons, I'm in a season, where you know what, 10% is a lot. It's a chunk, man. I give in that 10% and I'm thinking, I know what I could do with that 10%. But am I seek first the kingdom? Or am I seek first my own needs? If God's asking me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have faith. And I can tell you from experience time and time again, when I just put God first, man, he knows how to bless you back. And that's not why you put him first. In fact, when you put him first, there's no guarantee nothing's coming to you. You just see money go out of your account when you do the tithe thing. And you're like checking back. Like, is it coming back double? You know, you hear a good old Joel Osteen or something. God's gonna, he's a multiplier, not a subtractor. I tell you what, God will subtract from you. He'll give you a whooping. God will bring calamity. He does all that stuff. We don't like hearing that. But are you seeking first the kingdom? Because 10 feet down the road, when you forgot about when you were real with God and when you put him first, all of a sudden a blessing comes. I'll let you in on a quick one. It's been a little financially rough for us, and you know, that happens, right? It's the trades. I'm a single income, whatever. And I'm not looking for your pity. But so we're in this season, and I'm faced with, should I tithe? You know, I could use it. And I just said to God, Lord, I just pray you'd bring financial breakthrough for us because we could use it right now. And you know something? I let it go. I kept doing my tithe. I kept trusting God. And I get a call. And you know, it was funny. I was going to work and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, watch me move in your life. Okay. I get a call that day. Hey, man, are you working? I'm like, yeah, I'm working. Well, I got a job I need done, and it's at my company that I work for in Colburn, and they need some offices built. Okay. And I'm like, I got a full week, but I don't know. I'll make it work. I'll figure something out. What the heck? Why not? It's a good connection. But you know how it goes with big business, right? They have an idea. They bring it to the board. They talk about it. They forget about it. Then they have the idea again, and then they bring it to the board, and they talk about it, and they forget about it, and then they bring it to the board. This is what happens in big business. And what's worse is in big business is when you finally get the job, they say, hey, thanks for coming. We'll pay you in 60 days. That's how it works. So it's not really gravy. But I'll tell you what. I said, I can do the job if you want. I'll make it happen. Here's a price. I gave him a price that night. And I just left it with Jesus. The next day, I got the okay for the job. And I went and worked it that night. And I got paid that next day. God brought this breakthrough in my finance. And listen, I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal. I hope you see that. I'm just trying to be real with you right now. Like this is what God's done in my life. This is a real experience. And God poured in. He blessed me. He heard my prayer. I got real with him. I said, listen, I need this right now. And he heard me. But then I went from being real to being obedient. Okay, God, I'll still do the thing. I'll still, you know, put you first in my finances. Especially if I'm asking you for something, I better put you first in it. And God, he poured in. This isn't a prosperity message, y'all. This is just God working through our obedience. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, discipline. Ironically, discipline is just not comfortable. I want to watch my show, God. I don't want to give you my money, God. I want to see who I want to see. I want to get this tattoo, God. Don't tell me I can't. Discipline requires us to be submitted. It requires us to know God as our master before I abuse father and friend. Because we love to do that, don't we? We'll abuse father and we'll abuse friend. We'll forget he's master. We'll forget that we are clay, that we're a pot. You didn't ask your coffee cup if you could pour hot water in it this morning, did you? God says that we are like vessels. We don't got brains, we don't got nothing. We're a vessel. And he has a purpose for the vessel. And that's what's going to happen to the vessel. God says in this word that we're like sheep. How many know sheep aren't overly bright? Animals. In fact, if you leave a sheep, its hair will grow so big, it'll just die. It's really not a compliment. Thank you, Jesus. I got to think of where I was going with the sheep thing. Praise God. We're talking about discipline. We're talking about being submitted. We're talking about master. God is our master. Are we submitted to him as our master? Am I living my life as a slave of God? Oh, y'all, none of y'all wanted to hear that tonight. A slave of God? I don't got rights. I don't got nothing. I'm just property to God. The Bible says you were bought at a high price. So was I. You know, I think that we got to come into this reality that I'm a slave of Christ. And when I get there, I'm going to experience the Father. And I'll experience my friend. And I'm not saying you can't have experienced like God as a Father and that's how you got saved. And like, yeah. But I mean, if on this intentional walk with God, he has to be master. And then when I screw up, I'm experiencing Father. I experience, hey, son, come on, let's get up and do it again. When I'm on this journey and I'm living with God as master, I'll experience him as friend. I'll read in my Bible, it says, pray always. Pray without ceasing. You know your friend that just wants to call you to be like, yo, what's up? How's it going? How's your day? Let's chat. Want to go for coffee? God wants to talk with you. He wants you to talk to him. That's the friendship. But it flows out of, God is my master. I'm a slave of God. That's where my heart has to be. When my heart is there, I'm going to experience Father. I'm going to experience friend. Thank you, Jesus. Let's wrap this up. I got three things that we spoke about. So what's the next slide? Did we get it? What's this one? Yeah, okay, here we go. I'm just going to read this. It's so important to be in constant communication with God, to be real with him, but to remember that we are not only his friends and his children, but his servants. Be real, work through it, and be obedient to the Lord. Next point. Live with Jesus at the forefront of your life. Being disciplined in our walk with God is critical. Otherwise, we slip and become complacent. God needs to be at the priority. Be a priority and part of our routine. We must know the Comforter well so we can handle life's destructive discomforts well. And finally, being willing to live under God, not just as a friend and a child, but a servant of God. Before anything, he's Lord. Am I willing to live with my life surrendered? Am I willing to embrace Christianity as more than a label or a feel-good lifestyle, but as a lifetime searching and submitting to God? Are y'all ready to get a little bit uncomfortable with God in the driver's seat and you in the passenger seat, letting him lead the way as we follow? It's uncomfortable, but it's okay. God bless you. Thank you so much for having me here tonight. This has been a privilege and a blessing. And that's all I got for you. So I hope it didn't offend you too much. Pastor Terry.